happy to greet you this morning in the name of our merciful and faithful High Priest, the Lord Jesus. Impressed with that phrase, those descriptions of him there in the close of our Sunday school lesson, and with the wonderfulness of his salvation brought to us as we've heard in devotions. The other day, when we were gathered here in prayer, I heard a prayer raised by a young man that said this, something similar to this: help us to be men of integrity. And that phrase grabbed me. I appreciated that prayer. And I've chosen this morning to speak on the subject of integrity as seen in the Old Testament, where you find this word. It's only found in the Old Testament, but the thought is all through the Scriptures. In fact, I would like to ask you if you could tell me what three individuals in Scripture have integrity attached to their name. Do you know who those three are? The word integrity. No. Though he was full of integrity, he wasn't one of them. Job is one of them.
Daniel?
No. I wouldn't have wanted to be asked this question because I didn't have enough study, okay? The first individual that comes up in our Bibles with the word integrity attached to his name is Abimelech there in Egypt when Abraham goes there, Egypt, I'm saying wrong. By using the wrong name, it's in Genesis 20, Abimelech. Yes, it's Abimelech, and is Abraham in Gerar, or is he in Egypt? Anyhow, it's when Abraham says his wife is his sister, and Abimelech takes her to be his wife, and God comes to him and said, this is going to happen to you unless you do this. And he says, you know, Lord, I've been a man of integrity. And God says, I know that. There's one other person. Okay, I gave you one of them. And you guessed one of them. Who wants to try one more time? That's right. That's right. It says that of David in the Psalms. It uses that as well as in talking to his son Solomon. He uses that term tied to that. Well, I want to look at those, some passages, as I think of integrity. Now, every one of you this morning is sitting in this building trusting the integrity of this building. You're not here worried that that roof is fixing to fall on you. Why? Because you view this building as being complete. One of the definitions of integrity that Strong's use is this idea of completeness, okay? And then also, in terms of Job, the idea of innocence, okay? Both of those terms are used. And I'm glad this morning that we can sit here and not worry about the integrity of our building. It is the possibility, though, that even though the veneer looks very well all around here in a lot of ways, that this wall could be full of termites. Now, usually they would show up in this paneling. But it is possible that there could be some bugs eating this building. And the integrity of this building isn't as good as what we think it is. That is possible. Now, I'm sure today that none of you would like to drive across a bridge that has old rusty I-beams on it, and the bridge, and they're sagging, and the bridge shakes while you're on it. Now, I remember years ago being out here on the old fishing pier. And if you went out to the end of that thing and somebody came out there with a car and turned around, you felt that thing shaking. And you literally doubted the integrity of that old bridge. And you knew why they had quit driving across that old bridge. And you were almost amazed they left you fish on it because of how shaky it felt. This past week, Stephen was working at her neighbor's place removing some trees because the integrity of those trees was no longer what they should be, and the danger for them to fall on the neighbor's house. And you know, I think about it, if a hurricane was headed this way, I would look at my trees close to my house and like, is there integrity there? Are they complete? Are they solid? Are they worth trusting and letting stand right next to my house? How did Job's view of God affect his integrity? I'd like to turn to Job, and I'd like to read the two scriptures that use this word integrity. In Job chapter 2, and verse 3, this is after Job had already lost his possessions. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" That's quite a statement that God makes about Job. Still he holdeth fast his integrity. And so I mentioned in the outstart about Jesus being a faithful high priest. In essence, he held fast his integrity to the end. He was a faithful high priest. And here's Job, pictured by God. Still he holdeth fast his integrity. And then we know, this verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. How did Job's view of God affect his integrity? Or where did Job get his integrity? It was by his view of God and God's laws, and that had an effect on his life in many ways. He loved God. And so he could accept the pain God allowed and still bless God. And I'm amazed at that kind of integrity. That's a powerful testimony. He loved God, and he could accept the pain God allowed in his life, yes, and still bless God. Why? Because his integrity was complete. There wasn't a missing hole there, or bug in there infesting something. Not that men can't fail, that's not what I'm saying, but God lifts him up because he trusted in God. I want to just go through the scriptures starting in, well, these verses with Job. I would like to just make some observations. When I took my Strong's and I looked at the word integrity and I thought about integrity and I went to these different passages and I made some conclusions in terms of them, in the verses I just read in Job, I would say this: integrity here is something that greatly influenced how Job thought about God and the terrible trials he was facing, as well as the foolish advice of his wife. Integrity helped him not listen to his wife's advice. Integrity helped him think properly about God. It did. It affected his life very greatly. Now let's turn back to Genesis 20, and I'll start moving through the scripture some, and we'll look there a little bit about Abimelech. In Genesis 20, verses 5 and 6, said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even she herself said, he is my brother, and the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, but I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Verse 9, here's what Abimelech says to Abraham. And Abimelech called Abram and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Why did he say that? Because of the integrity of his heart. Because of the integrity of his heart. Integrity affects one's view of wickedness and helps one readily listen to God's voice. You see that happening right here in this story. Abimelech's integrity affected his view of wickedness. And it also affected how he responded to God's voice in that dream. Yeah. Had a very direct connection on him. He readily listened to God's voice. And he acted accordingly. He acted accordingly. We need integrity today to help us have type of integrity in the scriptures. To help us have a proper view of wickedness. And to readily listen to God's voice. In 1 Kings 9. First Kings 9, verse 4. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgment. And he goes on talking to Solomon. But it says this of David, as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness. Integrity affects one's character, and one's character is a direct link to one's heart. That's true. Integrity affects one's character, and one's character is a direct link to one's heart. And so here you find David having a powerful influence for good. Because of the integrity of his heart. And the proverb writer puts it this way in Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So there was Solomon. David had walked before Solomon with integrity of heart. And Solomon was blessed by David's example. And God is saying, if you'll just do like David, you'll follow your father in this way, in integrity of heart. Psalms 25 and verse 21. Another place in Scripture where integrity is used. David writing this psalm. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And then move into chapter 26 and verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. And he goes on there. Integrity is pictured as bringing stability to the life and also as causing someone to have nothing to hide before God. Integrity. Bringing stability to the life and then having nothing to hide from God. Psalm 26 and verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. integrity. We could read several verses with this. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, see, he's contrasting himself. Integrity is something that defines the life of every person by the choices they make. Instead of a right hand full of bribes as the sinners, he wanted to rather be someone who was walking towards God in righteousness. Right? And choosing to seek God's redemption and be with the saints in verse 12, right there in that same passage. The blessing of integrity and what that did in David's life. Psalm 41 and verse 12. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. I get the view here that God is interested in helping us live lives of integrity. God has done everything he can to help us live that kind of life. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us the blessing of his son. He's given us the example of other faithful men in the past, and he gives us the power of his spirit to stir our hearts towards him. And it is goal that, yes, he wants to answer the prayer of that young man, and he wants to answer the prayer of all who pray that prayer. Lord, help us live in integrity. Live with integrity. Turn over to Psalm 78 and verse 72. I'll read 70 to 72. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Integrity affects how we relate to our God-given responsibilities. If you're a father here this morning, the integrity of your heart determines how you relate to your children, how you relate to your wife, what goals you have for the well-being of the future of your children. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart. When those men went to battle with him, and 200 stayed back, what did David do when they brought back all that spoil? And these men said, oh, just forget, just give them a little bit and we'll keep the rest. David said, no, this isn't happening in my kingdom. Those that stay home are going to be equal to those that go to battle. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart. And he established that kind of law there in Israel. He wanted to be just in relating to all. It's important to have had some people back there keeping what's there, as well as those out there fighting in David's mind. And you see how he related to Jonathan's, you know, how he kept his promise with Jonathan. Though he could have came to the throne and said, let's get rid of all of Saul's house, done with them. Saul treated me so unjustly. No, he had built his life following God's principles, and that integrity of heart affected how he related to all these individuals. I say integrity affects how we fulfill our God-given responsibilities, and in that affects how we relate in fulfilling those. We see how David treated Shimei as he came out there that day and he threw stones and kicked dust and did whatever he did and cursed David. He didn't just go and have his men go and take off his head. Different stories in the life of David. How he gave in preparing for the temple. He realized it was God that gave him what he had. And he was interested in God's cause going forward. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Another verse. Proverbs has several verses on integrity. integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity is a guiding principle in the life of the upright. I believe it's the result of an inner conscience well trained. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. If I were to put this in New Testament terminology, forgive me if you think I've stretched it here, but I'm going to go over and read a few verses in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 6. Paul writing here. In 2 Corinthians 6, he says in verse 4, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God," and he goes down this list and he comes to verse 6, he says, "by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." And I'd just like to take that phrase there, "by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." And I'd like to put that as one possible definition of integrity. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That is when God's word, God's armor, is a focal purpose. No matter which way we need to turn and what all we, it's around us and it's protecting the life. Integrity. Integrity. Armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That's quite a list there that he's going down through as he shares here. I'd like to look at three main points this morning. How is integrity built in the life? I'd just like to make this comment. When God's standard of righteousness becomes the guiding principle of one's life, integrity is built. When God's standard of righteousness becomes the guiding principle of one's life, integrity is built. And so I would like to look at some building materials needed for integrity to flourish. You know, when they brought the building materials to build this church, they cared that they were solid. And when we build a house, we don't want to use rotten lumber. And when we want stability and character to grow in our lives, we need some solid building materials put into our minds and into our hearts. We need it. Driving that new bridge out there, you want to know that they use good cables, good concrete, and properly connected everything, so you can trust that bridge. It's not going to collapse on us. When they built the Titanic, they thought they had a very good ship. In fact, they thought they had an indestructible ship. And they found out that when the ship got flawed by that iceberg, it didn't last long at all. It could no longer float. It got destroyed. The integrity of that ship was destroyed, and down it went. And it's so true in our lives today. We have building materials that can be solid and can be a blessing to our lives, but they must be maintained and must continue there in order for us to continue to float and make it to our voyage, future home. We need solid building materials. And I think one of the, as I think of Job's life, I've chosen Job as the text in my message this morning. Think of Job's, what God says of him. "Still he holdeth fast his integrity," there in Job 2. What would you say if you were to look at Job's life and the integrity that God said was a part of his life, and what is written there in the book of Job, what would you say are the building materials that went into Job's life that gave him the integrity that he had, or helped him be a man of integrity? I believe one of the things listed in chapter 1 that Job understood that he needed and his children needed, and that was a cleansed heart. And there he is pictured as a man who is bringing a sacrifice to God in behalf of his children, and as one that worships God. Rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now, he would not have done that if he would not have realized his own sin and his need for cleansing by God, as well as him helping his family towards God. And so he was a man of integrity, and he had learned this, that he needed the sacrificial work of God in his life. Yes, the cleansing. He was on that side of the cross looking forward, but it was pointed towards the Lamb, that sacrificial system. And in order for us to be men of integrity, we need a cleansed heart. David said, "Create in me a clean heart." David was a man of integrity. When he had sinned, he realized he needed to repent, and he asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Another point that I noticed in the life of Job: there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. One that feareth God, a proper fear of God. If I were to simply put proper fear of God under some other words that describe that, I would use the word reverence, the word respect, the word humility, the word worship. And I think those four define Job's fear of God. He had a reverence for God. He had a respect for God. He had humility before God, and he worshiped God. You could put other words there, but those definitely describe in my mind what a fear of God is all about. A reverential fear of God. That where we bow before him in reverence and we respect him because of who he is versus who little insignificant I am. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Our Sunday school lesson. So Job's testimony. Job had a fear of God. God says that about him. The integrity of Job, one of its solid building blocks, lay in this point, that he had a fear of God. Scripture says one place that there was no fear of God there in that place, and how those people acted. And there's a lack of a fear of God out there in this whole cold, dark world. And we need the fear of God in our hearts if we're going to be men of integrity. Men of integrity. Next thing it says here, feareth God and escheweth evil, or hateth evil. Love for truth is the opposite of hating evil. And that's where Job stood. He had a love for truth. And because he loved truth, he hated evil. It wasn't that he hated the evildoer, you know, the person, but he hated the act, the deed. It needs to be a love for truth. And so when his wife comes and says, "Just curse God and die," he couldn't listen to that voice because he loved truth. He loved truth, and truth helped him discern that advice and see the fallacy of that advice, even though it came from the source that should have been his greatest support. Now we know where she was as she was in this journey with him. And it reveals a little bit of the journey of feelings and how harsh this circumstance was they were going through and all the pain that was in her life. But I think Job helped her around as Job continued faithfully. Another thing I notice in the life of Job is in Job 1 and verse 22, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. In 2 verse 10, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. And I put this point here, a building material needed for integrity to flourish in our lives is surrender to the sovereignty of God. And I'll be honest, the other day, I was trying to bale straw, and the rain clouds were building. It seemed like we just kept fighting rain wherever we turned. It's like, it'd be so nice if we just have some dry weather. And as a man, I was just having to surrender to the sovereignty of God. It's not easy. Not when it's going against what you're trying to get accomplished, right? But you know, God continues to teach us in a variety of ways. He has ways to bring us right up against that, that we're just men. It's okay to pray to him. It's okay to cry out with your heart in terms of all that. That's what I was doing. And finally I came to the place, you know, Lord, you're Lord. I just need to say yes. Job accepted these dire circumstances he didn't understand as allowed by God. And so he could say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And though he didn't charge God foolishly. Quite a story. Quite an example. He had a solid building material in his life that was helping his integrity flourish. And that was this thing of surrender to the sovereignty of God. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Another point I notice is Job constantly aligned wrong thought patterns with rock solid truths. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? What was he saying? His wife said, curse God and die, and he came back with the truth. Can't God give us whatever he deems best? Do we only have to get good from God? Putting in my own words. He aligned her wrong thought patterns with the rock solid truths. It is easy to get swept off our feet in terms of what is rock solid truth if you just simply read on the internet. Or if you only go to the Bible commentaries, you could get swept wrong too. We must come back to this truth. We must. It must be the stabilizing factor in our lives so that we can be men of integrity. He saw God as a good God and he gave God the place God was allowed to have of choosing what was best for him. Those are just five things I put here as building materials needed for integrity to flourish. But I think if these five things are happening in our lives, we'll flourish in integrity. If we keep a cleansed heart, if we have a proper fear of God, if we love truth and hate evil, if we surrender to the sovereignty of God, and we constantly align wrong thought patterns with rock solid truths. I think those are five solid building materials needed for integrity to grow in our lives. Now I'd like to look at some bugs that will destroy it. And I'd like to turn further in the book of Job and look at Job 31 as Job talks here. I'm not going to near put all these that he puts in this list. Job 31, verse 1, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Lusting after the forbidden is a bug that will destroy integrity. And so he made a covenant with his eyes. He wasn't going there. And he wasn't going to dwell with those lustful thoughts. In verse 5, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit. A love for deceit versus honesty is a bug that will destroy integrity. In verse 7, if my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands. Selfishly following our own way is a bug that will destroy integrity. Verses 13 through 15. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? Did not he that make me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? He realized that he was not a superiority complex will destroy integrity. He realized he was on equal plane, even with his maidservant, his menservant. Verse 17, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof. Unwillingness to share is a bug that will destroy integrity. Verses 24 and 25. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great and because mine hand had gotten much. Trust in wealth and riches is a bug that will destroy integrity. Verse 29. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. Wishing evil on others and rejoicing when it happens to them is a bug that will destroy integrity. Verse 33, if I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, lack of transparency will destroy integrity. Integrity is tested by how one relates to the ungodly every day. Those pressures from the world, the ungodly in their speech, integrity is tested. Will we pick up their lingo, or will we adopt and maintain Christian speech, pure speech, not jesting, not, the scriptures depicts it. Integrity is tested by how one relates to the ungodly every day in moral issues, morality. Integrity is tested by the magazines you like to read. Yes, test your integrity. By the music you like to listen to, test your integrity. Get around the world. You want to just hear their songs? Is it the songs you like versus the songs of Zion? It's a bug that will destroy integrity. We need to keep these above board in order for our building to be bug-free so that we can be men of integrity. Lastly, I'd like to look at some blessings of walking in integrity. First one I have listed is a clear conscience. Job didn't sin with his lips, God says. He could go to bed and sleep free. He could. Now we know his pain in his physical body brought him a lot of discomfort, very much. But imagine if he was dealing with that inside yet. He had a clear conscience. And if there's one of the greatest blessings that we can have in our lives, it's that. clear conscience, wrought by the work of God in our lives and the forgiveness of God in our lives as we cried out to Him. But men of integrity are men with a clear conscience, and it's a blessing that God bestows upon the life that is walking in integrity. In Job 19, verse 25, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. What does that show? He was free from deceitfulness in its end. He had another end he was looking forward to. He was free. He had that freedom from deceitfulness in its end. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's the blessing of walking in integrity. The young man that got a gun and went into that class or that school recently and shot all those people. How foolish. How foolish. There is no freedom in deceitfulness. There's no glorious end in that deceitfulness. And we need to see it clearly for what it is in all the other areas where we're tested with it. Freedom from deceitfulness and its end is a blessing of walking in integrity. We notice in Job, in the end of Job, when God said to his friends, they needed to bring it. You know, there was something they needed to do, and they needed to ask Job to pray for them. And he says, I'm going to accept my servant Job, but you've got some things to deal with. Approval by God is a blessing of walking in integrity. Job prayed for his friends. He had the approval. He had approval by God in his life, and that was a blessing of walking in integrity. In Proverbs 20, maybe I did read that verse. Another blessing of walking in integrity. Yeah, I have to read it. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A blessing of walking in integrity is ongoing opportunities of influencing the rising generation positively. That's a blessing. These ongoing opportunities to influence the rising generation positively. David influenced Solomon positively. God notices that. If you'll walk in integrity of heart like your father did, then I'll do this for you. Just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. Chapter 19 of Proverbs shares this verse. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The world is bettered by all such who walk in integrity. These individuals experience the satisfied life. It pictures a poor man walking in integrity and said he's way better off than that man that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Well, these are just a few of the blessings of walking in integrity. By the armor of God on the right hand and on the left. We need that armor. We need that word. We need that law. We need that integrity. We live in a generation where integrity is going out the door fast. God help us to be humble, reverent, fearing God, worshiping God, living for God, choosing those right principles to operate our lives on so that we can be a little light for Him. Let's kneel in prayer.